What is up, guys? It's Alex, and obviously, if you're just now tuning in, you may realize that we don't have a brand new episode for you this week, but every, end of the year, we don't do that anyways. We always have a best of for you, so that's what we're going to do this year, the best of 2020, and let me be the 1 millionth person to tell you, hey, 2020's been a little bit weird, am I right, guys? You get it. I found some of the funniest stuff from the year, some of the most interesting conversations we had from the year, and I included just about every single guest we had on. We had the most guests we've ever had on in a single year. This was the most episodes I've ever done in a year because we did the quarantine Monday episodes for a while there, but I found it all. I've narrowed it all down to I don't know how many hours of stuff this is, but this is the best of 2020 featuring tons of guests, and myself, Pat, and Robert are prominently featured in it as well. So enjoy Pass the Gravy Podcast, best of 2020. And before you do that, head on over to PassTheGravyMerch.com. Buy some stuff from the PTG store. Get you a Gravy Gang shirt. We have the new trucker hats. We have the dad hats with the PTG logo on them. And now we have trucker hats to go along with them. We got sweaters, hoodies, all kinds of stuff. You're going to love it. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. PassTheGravyMerch.com. Go support your favorite podcast. But now, check out the best of Pass the Gravy 2020.
I'm a working man. I gotta pay my bills.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Oh, look at me! The millionaire who goes to see doctors!
You reek of scotch and cheesecake.
No, Jane, or Jello, ain't that gloves and nothing?
You filthy animal.
What is this, a prey?
Good news. I saw a dog today.
In your face, Nancy Grace.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Everybody hate who we just call them fans, though.
The only thing I think of when I think of my kids growing up in this country, if they say, Dad, what do we have left that's American-owned? And I say, son, I mean, there's not much to choose from, but that's what we have Pabst Blue Ribbon for.
Child, please.
I've
got an idea for the Food Network, and I'm not a cook, it would never work. Like, pitch it to Food Network. I feel like you get shot down, though. And one, I don't have any cooking expertise, but I would be the host. And you would have three cooks, similar guys, but, like, you know, you wouldn't have to rush off to go get it. So it's kind of, like, Chopped, but you're like, all right, I want you to make an omelet. And, like, whoever makes the best omelet, like, we go to the top, the three guys there, then one guy gets axed, and then I just throw two, like, kitchen knives down on the floor, and I'm like, go. And the remaining two guys have to sword fight it out or just see who doesn't get stabbed to death first. And then whoever wins, you're the winner.
I've got a show. It's they get three chefs, and they have to create a meal each, and then I have to try and finish all the meals.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one. Here's one. What about I let everybody kind of, like, they, like, pitch to me a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, you guys get to open up your own little mini restaurants, and then I just take their ideas and I use it as my own. Whoever wins, like, you win the show, but then I get your idea and I get to profit off of everything.
That's pretty smart.
It's like Shark Tank but for food. Also, that's another idea: Shark Tank for food.
Shark Tank but for restaurants.
And there's actual sharks that are, like, under me while I'm, like, judging everybody, and I just have a glass door that I can just. Psh, and, like, you get eaten by a shark.
Oh, so, like, Iron Chef, but it's a Shark Tank, and they have to dive in and catch a shark and then cook it.
Looks like he's chum.
He's finished. All right, we've done long.
Should we do a lot more CSI ones? I don't know. I guess you could say he took a stab at him. That was my other game. With a stab at him.
Something with bite.
I've also always wanted to watch a cooking show where it was like people like only have one arm. Like, that'd be crazy to watch. Where it's like, all right, you guys have to make a cake, but, like, you don't get to use your prosthetics. It's just like you get the one arm and you got to figure it out.
I mean,
and, like, it would be an even playing field because everybody would only have one arm.
So it'd be like watching Def Leppard's drummer, but in a cooking show.
Yes. And then who is another one? What about T-Rexes? They have to make food, but, like, they have really tiny arms, so, like, it's hard.
You like tape all the chef's arms?
No, but they're actual T-Rexes. They're in T-Rex costumes, those big blow-up T-Rex outfits.
Somebody's going to catch on fire in that, so I'm down to watch it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we could invent the Gravy Food Network, and that would work.
Has to have gravy.
That'll be like us with like Joe Exotic did. He made it was Big Cat Rescue TV or whatever, just to like
Entertainment.
Yeah, Big Cat Rescue Entertainment or whatever instead of Big Cat Rescue, and we'll just do like that. Gravy Food Network. It's like it says Food Network in it. The logo for the Food Network part is the exact same. It just says Gravy in front of it.
I like that.
Like, that is you're trying.
I
to
just want to eat a bunch of gravy.
Yeah, I just want to watch Food Network now, honestly. So that's the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we're gonna go watch Food Network.
Arguably the greatest not cool we've ever had. So I'm leaving your apartment week, and I take like three or four steps outside your apartment, and I do my normal phone, wallet, dip, keys. Keys not there. Keys.
Shoes.
So I go back and I come and knock on the door. He opens it. I was like, I can't find my keys. I look around the table. I'm looking around the apartment. I'm like, fuck, they're not here.
He said, keys is Christ.
And I go, all right, Alex, well, I'm going to go down. I probably dropped them right outside my car. I'll go down there. If I can't find them, I'll call you. So I go down. I walk into the parking garage and my car's right there. And as I walk up, I was like, God, it kind of looks like my car lights are on. My taillights. And as I get closer, yeah, I left my car running for the entire 3.5, like, keys in the ignition running for 3.5 hours.
Unlocked.
Unlocked.
Like, ready to steal. You might as well have just put a sign like, free car?
My only assumption is because in the front of your apartment complex, it's just visitor parking.
Uh-huh.
I assume that people just thought a delivery driver parked the car and ran inside.
Right. No, that's 100% what they did think, I bet. But, like, for 3 hours.
It was like 3.5 hours, dude. And I just started laughing, and I call Alex.
Not cool, Pat.
And I was
and
like,
the environment.
I lost like.
The environment's not cool.
I want to say it was like 85 miles worth of gas. Of just idling. Just idling right fucking there. And all I could do was laugh. I was like, this is amazing. The only thing that makes sense about it, though, and I'm not that mad about it, is. I mean, it sucks losing that much gas.
If I had, like, a garage that closed, could you have killed somebody?
when I walked back in there, maybe.
Pat just passes out, and we never. I'm like, why is he still in the?
God,
oh,
that
would have
been dope. No, but I guess I was. I was just so excited to come back and do another episode of Pass the Gravy after what, 2 weeks off.
We talked about this at the beginning of last week. We were like, it's been 2 weeks since we hung out.
Like, I was so excited that I literally opened my car door, stepped out of it, and just like,
fuck it.
I didn't run towards the door, but my mind was running towards it, and I didn't even think to grab the fucking keys. That's how ready I was to come back here.
That's fucking hilarious, though. But I just remember, like, Pat was in, and, like, I get the, like, when you lose your keys, you're like, oh, God, like, what do I got to do? My backup keys are in my house. That means I got to go do that. Then I got to come, I got to, like, Uber out there. I got to Uber back, or Alex has to drive me. Then we got to drive back. Oh, then I got to drive out there. No, I would have taken you. But, like, because when you called me back, I was, like, ready. I was like, he's calling me back. That must mean he needs me to come help him. And I was like, all right, we'll just go out to Katie. We'll come right back. It's fine. It's not a big deal. And, that just sucks, like, when you're, like, I just added so much time to, like, I forgot this here. I got to go there. I got to go get it back. Got to come back. Then I got to go back home. Then it's fine. But then it's, like, shit. Like, you just left it on, and it was fine. And just, yeah. It worked out.
I mean, I've been in the car driving for 3.5 hours before, so it's not, like, it's not bad for it. But, like,
by itself.
It's just absurd.
Yeah.
I expect my gravy award next year for Not Cool of the Year.
That very well could be the Not Cool of the Year for sure. It's the leader right now.
Oh.
Does getting kicked out of an escape room count as winning?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I think
you have to escape the escape. Well, technically, that is an escape if you get kicked out.
There's a time limit, though. As long as you get kicked out within the time limit.
So you set fire to an escape room, they have to let you out. You've beaten the escape room.
Yes.
Did I escape? Now, you didn't say how.
Now, if you don't do it in time, like, you have to leave, and you're like, I refuse to leave, and then they have to call the police to pull you out, that's not a win because you didn't do it within the time frame. But if you get out of that room within the time frame, it's a dub. It doesn't matter how you do it. I don't care if you fucking cheat and run through the door. You got out. That's a win.
I'll give you that.
It does not mean you beat the escape room.
Okay, that's fair.
But you did win.
You did not conquer it.
But you won.
You won. You escaped.
Yes.
You escaped, sort of.
There's a big difference between beating the escape room and winning it.
And being the escape room.
That's not a thing.
No, maybe. Could be.
Good question, though. I like that.
I just like it just sounds like somebody went to an escape room very drunk with their friends. And that's just what I would imagine we would do. Like, I don't fucking know. I'm throwing these things on the ground. I'm breaking everything. Like, sir, stop that. Please stop that. Please. Have you ever been to an escape room?
No.
I've never been to
I've never really had the urge to go, but I kind of want to go. I feel like it'd be fun.
Do they have a, like, I don't know. I think I saw, Modern Family, I want to say they did one on where they had, like, the guy can talk to you over an intercom when you're doing, like, I don't know.
They had one on Last Man Standing. I've been watching a lot of Last Man
Standing. Let us know if you've ever been to an escape room. And are they expensive? Because if they're not expensive, when the fucking pandemic's over, we're all doing a PTG escape room, all right?
I feel like they're not cheap.
Well, if we get enough people to do it, maybe we can figure it out.
But, I mean, it might even be like $100 a person, something like that. Or it could be like $30.
If it's $100 a person, we're not doing it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Build us an escape room. We'll figure it out. But also, like, some of the things could kill you. So, you know, throw some of that stuff in there, too.
Robert, build a saw is what he's saying.
No, fuck Saw. I hate that movie. I hate those movies.
You just said it could kill us.
But, like, no, not like in, like, a scary way like that. It's just like, boom, it's over with. You know?
There's just a guy in a corner, and every minute, if you don't find a new clue, he just shoots you in the fucking head.
It just, like, makes you open your mouth, and, like, you get, like, a cyanide pill just shoved down your throat. And you're like, it's too late. So it's, like, it's kind of quick, but, like, you just, you know. I don't know.
A bullet would be better than a cyanide pill.
I feel like I would be the worst at escape rooms. Like, I've never been in one, but, like, they're always, like, they're, like, math puzzles you got to kind of sign. Like, all right, well, what was the third day on the calendar multiplied by how many people are in the room multiplied by how many doorknobs there are? I fucking quit.
Wait, look at the suitcase. The code says 0926. Oh, look at the calendar for September 26th. What does it say there? I mean,
yeah,
the fuck do you know to connect those
things? It's all like numbers and stuff. And I'm just going to try and break everything I can and see if there's a hole in it that I can get out of.
You guys work on this. I'm just going to punch the wall. And then I'm going to get through it.
Pretty much. I'm just gonna hit the wall. You guys figure it out.
I'm going to literally hit the wall.
We'll get out eventually, I'm pretty sure. All right, guys? So just chill.
That would be it.
Let's not make a big deal.
We're all trying to solve it, and somebody goes, dude, I don't know. I hit the wall. And I'll be, hit the wall.
Great idea. That was the password the whole time.
Just run as fast as you can into the wall.
Patrick McClellan, the one and only at P. McClellan, the inventor of Snake City, and he looks like he's running a jazz coffee shop right now in quarantine. How you been, bud?
I've been quarantined. I don't know if you've heard. I've had to shelter in place. It's pretty great. I'm loving it. My attic's haunted.
Oh, your attic's haunted, huh?
Yeah, there's a real ghoul in my attic.
Do you name him yet, or are you all friends, or are you just kind of trying to stay away and give him his space?
I'm not too thrilled with it. So trying to figure out how that happened. It's probably a demon. But it's just in the attic making noise. So we're taking that. I guess that's some action.
Yeah, I feel like you deal with ghouls a lot. Like you have a lot of encounters.
This is a real actual ghost. Like it's not a bit. There's a real thing up there. Not a raccoon. Makes noise. It kind of walks around. It's got these loud like boot like things. Like it sounds like it has buckles on its boots. Like Vigo the Carpathian or like a pilgrim or something. That's all it does. It just walks around and moves stuff.
From just like, pacing, moving.
Yeah. But like, I just have a lot of questions. Like, how did it show up?
Like, wouldn't it have to die up there? Like, do you think somebody died in your attic maybe at some point?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I yell at it, but not too aggressively. I do call it the ghoul, and I'm just like, hey, go next door. Like, they're terrible people. I'm trying to entice it, saying that they have an air conditioning ghoul friendly attic next door.
Yeah, you got to sell the attics.
It's messing with my pre-lit Christmas tree. Like, what does it want? How did it show up? And please never come out. Don't come in the house. Don't show up in my mirror like Bloody Mary. Don't write on the wall with blood. Those kind of things. Don't move stuff around. No poltergeist activity. But yeah, so that's kind of disconcerting.
Yeah, but, I would imagine just being stuck with a ghoul's got to be just crazy.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm already quarantined. You piece of shit ghost. Like, get out of here. So at least there's some action here though. I'm not bored.
Well, I see you got your guitar there with you. Like, were you ever strumming the guitar and he kind of starts like stomping like with the music? Maybe you could find out his least favorite kind and then like play that to get him out of there. I know that a lot of like military will do that. They'll just blare bad music and then it'll get people to surrender. Have you thought about doing that?
I actually have. I did a live stream the other day, and it was just playing. I think it was just like some Pink Floyd backing track, but I was just like trying to tell the ghoul like, hey man, like what are you doing here? Pretty much all I just laid out, but it was to him in song, and then also I posed the question like, would Toby Keith get him out of here? But if it is in fact a hell demon, they would probably want more Toby Keith.
They would enjoy that. Like, play Red Solo Cup again. Come on. I want to hear it again.
So I don't know what this – I mean, if this ghoul wants to hear Should Have Been a Cowboy, I will play it for him whenever he wants.
Beer for My Horses. I'm trying to just name Toby Keith songs now at this point.
Yeah.
I
love this bar.
Courtesy awesome of the Red, White, and Blue.
Yeah. Hey, ghoul, you ever heard about Freedom? Hey, ghoul, I bet you've never heard about my pit bald eagle.
Do you hate the Taliban, too? I'll tell you about my hatred for them.
Yeah, hey, ghoul, let me see. Where are you from, buddy? I'd like to see where you're from, first off. Because there's certain kinds of people that I don't take too kindly to, and demons are one of them. I'm a man of Jesus.
Citizen?
So ghouls. So now Toby Keith and Lee Greenwood somehow involved in this, and all the freedom fighters are out here. And unfortunately, it backfired. The ghoul was a Revolutionary War veteran and he was a Minuteman. So suck on that, Toby Keith.
is fencing the perfect COVID-19 sport? Everyone is wearing masks and gloves, and if anybody gets closer than 6 feet to one another, they get stabbed.
Ooh.
I mean, it seems like it might be the perfect.
It's the best way to reinforce the rules.
Right. Maybe we need to start doing that. Like, if you got stabbed, if you went out and you broke social distancing, maybe we all just need those, like, fencing swords.
You just got,
hey,
exactly.
Back off, bud.
Yeah.
Not so close.
That jousting also, though.
Jousting's tight. Why isn't jousting a real sport? Like, I get it's like brutal. Right. Like, I would watch jousting.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to Medieval Times?
I just have to go to the Ren Fest to see jousting.
Yeah. It should be a professional jousting league. The PJL.
Why is there not jousting fields at Memorial Park? Jousting. So I'm going to
say. If there were jousting fields, I'd be doing that all the time.
Not the best one. Jousting, definitely the best one.
Jousting is, yeah. Yeah, and you get to be on a horse, which is always badass.
Yes, exactly. You feel cooler. You don't have to, like, lunge. And you can also, like, and your mask looks cooler. It's like metal.
Fuck, I want to joust.
You don't look like you, like, just care for bumblebees and then do a sport on the side. You're like, no, this is not joust.
It is. Like, I feel like fencing was just like a beekeeper that's like, I want to play swords with my friends.
Exactly. But I have to immediately be able to attend to the bees.
But sometimes they need me.
They didn't want his bees to think he played a sport.
The bees, they get jealous.
The bees are for you. Were you jousting again? How did you even know the word for it? Like,
you're a bee. How do you communicate with me?
Notice that jousting has the word sting in it. I think we're on to something.
I think so too. Do you want to start? Let's start a professional jousting league.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be it. I want to be like the manager of the jousting.
The Dana White of that.
Why can't I think of his name? What's the boxing guy with like the crazy hair?
Don King.
Yeah, I want to be the Don King of jousting.
The hype lady. You could be the hype lady.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want him to say like weird shit. You know, like when boxers, like when Mike Tyson said all that weird stuff before the fight, you know, it's like a jouster. It's just like, I'm gonna joust so hard, you're gonna want me to put a ring on your finger. It's like,
okay.
Okay, I mean, I guess.
Shooting someone with a bow and arrow. Socially distant stabbing?
What?
Yeah, some of these questions can be out there, but I like that. That's what we like about this.
Oh, that one snuck up on me.
You shoot somebody with a bow and arrow, that's 100% socially distant stabbing. It's like, I can be within 6 feet.
It does stab someone, and theoretically, you are more than 6 feet away from them, so I'm going to have to allow it, yeah.
Yeah, it's because you care. You're not trying to hit them with biological warfare, just regular warfare.
Look, I wanted to fuck you up, but like, I don't want to get you coronavirus positive, bro.
We're not China. We have standards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that is a socially distant step.
What up, China?
So you fly on the team plane?
I do.
All right, like, how tight is that? That's kind of cool. Like, I mean, you're already dealing with the players on a regular basis. The 790 is the home of the Rockets, so you're pals with some of the guys anyway.
Yeah.
Like, who is like the crazy, like, what's the weirdest thing that somebody does on the plane? Like, I know we just watched The Last Dance, that was big, and you see Jordan with all the card games. Like, are there card games going on? Are there dice games going on those planes?
Yeah, I'll say this,
there were
things I couldn't tell you, I wouldn't be able to. But in all sincerity, Alex, it's not particularly crazy because these are grown-ass men that are making millions of dollars that can't afford to – now, they can have fun, and they're going out and having a good time. But usually we're on a plane either right after a practice or right after a game. I would say 80% of the players sleep. Now, there's 20% of them will play cards, that will watch movies, that will be on their iPad. But that's the one thing that I thought would be a lot crazier, a lot of debauchery. There is far from it. Most of the time, everybody is sleeping. I can tell you there are very few flights that the window shades are up. I can, you know, it's the most peaceful part of the day. And the food is good and the seats are nice and reclining and it's very relaxing. And again, there are probably four or five of them will play cards on a regular basis. Now, if they win a big game, there'll be a little hooting and hollering, but by no means is it like what you would think it would be. It is way more chill than anybody in a million years would imagine.
Okay, like so, like then tell me about the plane, because the plane, you, like you said, is pretty sweet. Like, do they have the bed seats, or like, or do they just recline super far back? Are there the tables out there?
It's the plane we've been using had us. You know, it's a 757, which usually seats on a normal airline about 150 seats. We probably have about 60. All of them are first class. All of them have very good reclining. There is a couple of areas. There's one laid down area where a player that's hurt or maybe taking a knee massage to, you know, take care of knees and joints, that kind of thing, lay down. And that's kind of the back table area, so to speak. I mentioned a card table, but most of it is just a nice plane with fewer seats. Tillman Fertitta has purchased a brand new airplane. It's a 767, which I don't know when it's going to be ready. But from what I understand, it's going to be very much what we have at our level, but it'll just be the plane that'll be used by the Rockets and by the folks at Landry's.
That's pretty cool. Like, I've always thought just like traveling with a team has to be like, is that like the first time you traveled with a team? Was that like the coolest thing in the world?
The coolest thing ever. Let me tell you, you go to a private air terminal, you hand the baggage handlers on the ground of the airport. We go to Hobby. So we go to a private area at Hobby. Hand the bag, they put the bag on, you walk on the plane, you sit down. The stewardesses are, flight attendants are the people that you recognize because they're with you all year long. They hand you your drink that they know that you've been drinking. You get terrific food. You land in a particular city. You go to a private area there as well, private air terminal. You walk off the plane. You get on a bus right on the runway. You go to the hotel, and then the bags are probably 15, 20 minutes behind. You grab your bags, go upstairs, and it's it. There's no baggage claim. There's obviously TSA screening, and
right.
That's legal by rule. But it makes you really appreciate that life when you're in Southwest boarding group C30 and you can't find anything but a middle seat. So it is probably the best part of the job, and that's part of the sadness is that if it was tough travel, it was a lot of commercial travel, getting up flight early the next morning to catch a commercial flight and going through baggage claim and going through security, it'd be a pain. But the charter life is, it's simply exemplary. It's so much fun.
This portion of Pass the Gray Podcast Best of 2020 is brought to you by our very good friends over at Southern Star Brewing Company, the best beer in the entire world. They hosted us for our 7th annual Christmas Spooktacular not too long ago up at the brewery. It was awesome. We had a ton of fun. Thank you again to Keith, Dave, and everybody up at Southern Star for always taking care of us. There's something for everybody, we always like to say at Southern Star Brewing Company. My personal favorite of theirs is the Strawberry Bombshell Blonde. I also love their Bombshell Blonde as well, but you can't really go wrong if you're an IP guy or gal, you want the Conspiracy Theory, the Subatomico Juicy IPA, the new Corova Milkshake IPA. Maybe you're like, hey, I gotta, you know, keep my calories down a little bit, Alex. It's getting towards New Year's resolution time. Well, try the Lil Cal Low Calorie IPA. You're gonna love that. It's an IPA. Doesn't taste like an IPA, but it is an IPA, but it's an awesome IPA, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Coming next year, hopefully, they're working on Pass the Gravy Podcast, Darlin' Like a Marlin beer. We aren't exactly sure all the details, but they are working on something, and we can't wait to release our very own beer. That's the dream, honestly, for me. But Southern Star Brewing Company, I promise you, you will find something you love from Southern Star Brewing Company. Pick it up at your local liquor store, at your Specs, at an HEB, Kroger, all of those. If you're drinking a Southern Star, let them know you're supporting the people that are supporting us. Tag them at Southern Star BC and at Southern Star Brewing Co. on Twitter and on Instagram. Tag us at Pass Your A-Pod. Let them know you're supporting the people that are supporting the podcast, Southern Star Brewing Company. They're family to us at this point on the podcast. They're the best beer company in the whole wide world and the official presenting beer sponsor of Pass the Gravy Podcast. Southern Star Brewing Company, best beer in the whole wide world. There's a big spider on my mailbox. Do I have to do something about it, or is it my mailman's problem now? Does the spider live in your mailbox?
He said,
or
oh,
was it?
Right, unless you copied it wrong.
Was the last time you went there, was there a spider just on your mailbox? Like, because if one, it's probably gone at this point.
Why is it a problem?
I do like the, like, should I kill
name
it, or is it that guy's deal?
Just name him. Like, that's Frank now. The Frank lives on your mailbox. You don't. Hey, don't. Hey, don't start nothing. Won't be nothing.
I mean, it's your pro. It's your property.
He's your. Yeah, you know what he. You know what he is. Leave Frank alone. He's your mailbox guard. Nobody's gonna steal your mail.
Or he's going through it. Maybe
he's your he's your guard dog.
Over the weekend, and this is a visual thing, but I got a picture of a spider that had a fly in its mouth.
That's terrifying.
And I zoomed in so much to make it seem like
that's home defense.
Spider was huge, but it was just normal.
Absolutely
spider.
Terrifying.
That's home defense. He's looking out for you. He doesn't
it
want.
Is, I guess.
Think about it. That fly, you could have been sitting on your couch, and that fly could have been buzzing around your head.
But
no,
like,
Dino just took care of that fly. That fly for you.
I like Dino as the name for a spider. Though. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't think it's your mailman's problem. I think it's your. It's like your mailbox.
No, if you don't like him and you leave him alone, then yes, it is your mailman's problem. But I say,
no, because it's not your mailbox. Your mailman like isn't in control of your mailbox.
But if you don't want to deal with it, and he has to
is a spider going to get the mailman? Maybe.
Well, if the spider or if the mailman also does not like spiders, then it is his problem if you just don't deal with it.
Or is it my mailman's problem? That was just my favorite way to like ask that.
No, I say,
should I deal with this or should I let this fucking random guy deal with it?
I say I don't think it's a problem. Now I know I'm
how
not
big
bothered
of a problem
spiders,
can the spider be?
Are.
Like, is the spider fucking with your shit? Like, or is there just a spider on there? Because most I feel like you could just leave it.
When you go to get your mail, does that spider do that thing where like he stands up and like two of his legs are just up in front, like, hey!
My mail.
Ha! Ha! And just bats one arm at you.
You know how some mailboxes, like the old school ones, you had the flag that you'd raise if you had mail to get picked up? Mm-hmm. Like, do you think he like just keeps closing the flag?
I think one of mine has that, but I don't know if it would work because I tend to.
That would
like...
be funny if you had a spider that just kept setting the flag down. He's like, no, we have no mail to get picked up.
That impression that you were doing, Pat, made me think of like the spiders doing that thing that everyone tells humans to do, like if they encounter a bear, it's like, make yourself bigger. That's what the spider's doing.
Ah!
Trying to scare away the human.
That's probably what they would be doing, though. They're trying to.
Hold on. That makes me think: are spiders secretly hilarious? Everyone's scared of them, but are they just like, "Whoa, big guy, get away from me! I'm big now too." Stop it.
They might be.
Go away. Go away.
I don't think it's anybody's problem, unless the spider is actively fucking with you. I think it's nobody's problem. Just let the spider chill.
Yeah, let
Maybe
him.
Let
chill.
Him bite you and then turn into Spider-Man. I don't know.
He's just trying to scare away mail thieves.
That's actually what it is. Yeah. It's basically
he's your guard
added
spider.
Security.
He's your guard spider.
And
in give
this
him a
day
name.
And age where there's these mail-in ballots, you know, you want to make sure that there's no mail fraud. And if you have a guard spider, I think you're in a really solid spot.
That's just it's Frankie Eight Legs, you know, he's running protection for you.
Oh, Frankie Ocho over here.
Frankie Ocho.
That's what they call him.
Hey, you give me protection money, I take care of your mail. Just send it to Frankie Ocho. I got you, bro.
Frankie Ocho is such a good name. He got eight lives. Not quite like a cat, but he's close.
You maybe get me once. You might get me twice. Maybe even 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, but you won't get me the eight.
8 times? No fucking chance.
I'm going to keep coming back. And guess what? By that 8th time, you swap me, I got 800 babies that come out.
And they're going to eat you. And then, boom, you're in a web. And I'm eating you. My name ain't Charlotte either, buddy.
You don't fuck with my buddy's mail.
All right. And then they just went on like a spider tangent where they talked like they were a spider. And I don't think spiders have accents.
Yeah, I say leave Frankie alone. Leave a note for your mailman. Just says, hey, that's Frankie Eight Legs. Don't fuck with him. He
Frankie
won't fuck
Ocho.
With you. Frankie Ocho.
Holla, holla, pass the gravy podcast.
Is a homing or carrier pigeon a boomerang?
I actually could almost get behind this, but I can't because you have to throw a boomerang. Well, now if you release the pigeon like that,
that's a throw, bro.
Then I can get behind it. But if you're just like opening the cage and it flies away, then no, it's not,
bro. It's a boomerang.
No. Can you at least agree with me on this? If you have to release the pigeon by hand before it's me, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, some carrier pigeons, you just open the cage.
In the one instance where I owned a carrier pigeon, which was one time, and that carrier pigeon did not.
That never happened. You're lying to the people.
No, it did. It did. I was briefly my freshman year in a band, quote unquote, unquote, unquote. We played zero shows. We were not good. And everybody quit before we did anything. We had a bass player that did not have a cell phone. And we thought it was a brilliant idea to just get him a carrier pigeon. And then we were like, well, we can talk to him every time we want to. If every time we want to talk to Groover, we'll just send the carrier pigeon out that way. And it'll be fine. And didn't work at all. Because apparently you're supposed to like keep it in the same place for a certain amount of time. And we were like, what's it been? We're supposed to keep it for like a week and a half or 2 weeks. It's been like 3 hours. I'm pretty sure he's got it. Like this guy.
Did you just tackle a pigeon?
No, we bought one on Craigslist. And I mean, it's very true. It's very possible we got swindled. Very possible.
So you just bought a pigeon from a crackhead?
No, because the guy had like, if you saw where we got the pigeon from, the guy was a pigeon guy. He had like we went to his.
That
house.
Doesn't mean he's not a crackhead.
We went.
He had a top hat, Pat. Yeah, he seemed very reputable.
Like Abe Lincoln.
That's a very crackhead accessory.
He looked very honest. He had a lot of pennies. He's a big fan of the $5 bill. It was fun. No, we went.
You have any idea how much crack you can get for $5?
No, but we were in Huntsville, so we went to this guy's like house/farm, but he had a bunch of like it looked like chicken coops, but they were for like birds, and he just had a shit ton of pigeons in them, and we were like, do you just catch the pigeons? Like, oh, I had a couple, I breed them. And I was like, all right. And he was like giving us all these directions. And I think it was a week and a half or 2 weeks that you're supposed to keep it in a cage so it can get its location or whatever. I didn't understand it all, but we literally waited. And like the night we got the pigeon, we're like, no, it's fine. It can figure it out. Like, how is the pigeon going
to
figure out where
to fly to?
Didn't think that through. Didn't think that through. No, it's like a Jeep. Like, I just, it uses, would it not PTSD, whatever it is.
ESP?
ESP. Uses ESP.
So hold on, wait. Are you supposed to keep it in one location so it knows where it is?
It knows
travel
where it returns.
To the other location. No, but then I would think you would still have to travel it to the other location.
We didn't listen to
so
everything the guy
the
said.
To go back to.
It was classic, like, we're better than whoever we're in front of right now. Like, we were just idiots. Like, yeah, sure, dude. All right, how much is it? Cool. It's $45 or whatever it is.
How much was it?
It was like $50.
Oh, okay. I was worried you were going to tell me you spent like $400 on a fucking pigeon.
No, I'm telling you, the guy had like 100 birds. Like Pigeon Man on Hey Arnold, like the guy had the cages and stuff and like lived on a farm. Like it was not – like we found him on Craigslist. Like we didn't believe
I'm telling
it.
You, knowing nothing about this, I'm pretty sure the bird is supposed to spend multiple weeks at
oh,
the starting
100%,
point.
Dude.
Multiple
we
weeks
got ripped
at the
off.
Ending point. Carrier pigeons don't go just wherever you send them.
Also,
they go
carrier pigeons don't exist anymore, man.
Forth.
Carrier pigeons aren't a thing in 2020,
they exist.
Dude.
Oh, they exist.
Not really, but
you,
still.
You think in underdeveloped countries there's no carrier pigeons?
In the United States, there's not enough carrier pigeons, okay? I'll give you that.
Bet.
I'll give you that. But
no,
I
guarantee you there's carrier pigeons in the U.S.
Dude, it was really funny because then like we were like, well, he hasn't come back. It wasn't that far we sent him. It's like, yeah, no shit, dude. We didn't know where to send. Like
yeah,
we
also,
just assumed we just put a note on the pigeon's like foot, and he's gonna just fly back to it. Like he's gonna know where to go one, and he's gonna like, know to come back to us. Never came back. Was gone.
Please tell me you guys were drunk.
We weren't, but
were you inebriated in any
no,
way?
No, we were just dumb, man. We were just dumb.
This is so frustrating to listen to.
It's like a funny story now, though, right? Like, did you ever own a carrier pigeon? Because I owned one partially for like. 2-3 hours.
You was, never thought of how the pigeon would know to
no
get
but
to
I think it. This was like a How I Met Your Mother episode though. I think like if you like it would be a brilliant idea to train carrier pigeons just to fly back to you if you owned them and then you could just resell them.
But they always like you have no. to train them to fly to where they're flying
right,
to
right but like, you train the pigeon that no matter where it's trained to fly it flies back to you.
Alex, because most people are going to ask, how do I get it to go where it's going to? You were right. The only person on the right. planet that did not think to ask this.
Oh, no, we did. I just didn't pay attention. But because there were three of us, and I assumed that one of the other ones paid attention. But still,
Jesus
like,
Christ.
The brilliant idea would be to like train the pigeon that no matter where you are taught to fly back to me regardless, and then you can just resell the same fucking pigeons over and over.
Like
and
in Snatch
over.
With the dog.
100%. Yeah, you're like, this is the 19th time I've sold this pigeon because it flies back to me every single time. Like, that's where you win. You have like 10 pigeons and you're good.
Because nobody's going to come back and be like, my pigeon flew away. And be like, oh, I recognize that pigeon. Oh,
and you like can't go to the cops and be this guy. Like, this guy sold me a pigeon that didn't fly to my friend's house and then fly to me. And also, yeah, I gave him a couple hours before I let him go. It was dumb. Whatever. We didn't want to take care of a bird. We just wanted to see if it would work. All right. So a homing or carrier pigeon is definitely a boomerang, I would say. If
as
it works,
long as you physically
works.
Throw it.
When it works. If it comes back, then yes.
Oh, so you admit that things aren't boomerangs unless
well,
they work.
Okay, so it's a good boomerang if it comes back.
Oh, you just fucked yourself
up,
my friend.
No, it's a good boomerang if it comes back. If it doesn't come back, it's a shitty boomerang. So the carrier pigeon we had, shitty boomerang.
Remember that.
Shitty boomerang. You said you started out like bouncing before you got into radio. Like, that's one of the craziest jobs to me ever, just because like I'm obviously a very small person, so I would never be picked to be a bouncer. But like, is it badass being a bouncer? Do you like that authority? Like, you're like, nah, dude.
No, because like, it was crazy. Like, I guess like back in like 80s and stuff like that, bouncers, you know, you could beat up anybody and kick them out or whatever. But then like, you know, it got to where like they were getting lawsuits and stuff like that. So it's like when, like if I would be breaking up a fight and they hit me and I hit the dude back, he could press charge. Is on me, you know, and then I could go to jail, all this stuff. So that's when I was like, screw that, man. I'm not gonna go jail for doing a job that I'm supposed to do. So you kind of had to like restrain yourself and stuff, man. I'm telling you, man, the worst fights I ever had to break up was some female fights, man.
The two craziest fights I ever saw were chick fights, and my god, they're fucking grabbing hair, they're clawing, they're ruthless.
Dude, like
guys, usually it's like they just gas themselves out and everything like that. Somebody gets taken down. It's kind of like, all right, we could go our separate ways. Chicks, no way. No way.
Like, you know, when it's a fight and it's a female and you try to be like, I don't want to grab her because then if you, it looks like you're grabbing her too rough or whatever, you know, then I was just like, man. So I would grab a girl and then I would just grab her by the by the arms and try to like restrain her like by the arm like that and walk her in front of me. Dude. One of them, I did that, and one of them just reached around and just wham, back into me, right in the nuts. Oh, the worst ever, dude. I was like, I hit the high notes, bro.
Oh, I bet, dude. You know, can't not.
Yeah, because you can't do nothing to them. You're just like, oh. And, you know, but the thing is, everybody thinks bouncing is like, oh, you gotta be good fighter and all that stuff. No, I mean, dude, usually, you know, you go in, you grab one guy, and then the rest of the bouncers come in and they grab somebody else, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, it's kind of like a science, but not a science, you know? You can't just go in by yourself at first and then, you know?
Right.
You got to see, once your friend's there, you jump in and all that. I've had a beer bottle broken on my head because I went in and I grabbed the dude, and it was funny because I was coming out of the office. And then I closing the door from the office to the club, and they're fighting right in front of me. So I just grabbed one guy, and then when I grabbed him, his friend just comes and hits me with a beer bottle, and I start feeling like just hot. And I was like, oh, I'm bleeding, and I got mad. And, you know, so I felt like people were hitting me. But then that's when everybody, like my friends, you know, the other bouncers came in and everything. But sometimes, man, it's your day and it's not, you know. So
it's just always like that, like, I don't know why there's not a TV show about bouncers, because I feel like they do, in like, you come in contact with a bunch of crazy shit, not on a regular basis, but everybody's got like a crazy story. Like, what is your craziest thing that you've seen happen while bouncing? Because like, you had to see some crazy shit, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw like a lot. It's too many. Okay, fights as far to where we were like, oh, we're going to get beat up right here. There was a private party, which was like a college party. They rented out the club, and it was TSU, and the whole TSU football team is there. And, you know,
shout out Michael Strahan.
Yeah, it was
probably not his dad. Yeah,
yeah. So, but you know, they were there, and one of the wide receivers, like the star wide receiver for them, was being a little jerk, and then, you know, one of the cops grabbed him, and then you see the whole football squad just around the cop, and then all of a sudden we hear somebody on the radio, hey, HPD needs help right here, blah blah blah. So then you see all the bouncers run, and we're up against like a wall, and we kind of push them back a little bit. But then I'm looking at the lineman, and I'm looking up like, hey, dude, how you doing?
Yeah, those guys push people for their, like, a living, yeah, basically.
But it's like they're big and taller than us, so we're just like, screw this. So it was like a face-off, and luckily one of the cops, you know, like an older cop, we used to call him Seabass, you know, he was bald-headed, he got a country mustache, and he had that deep – we used to call him Stone Cold because that's how he kind of looked. So – he comes in and he grabs one of them dudes and goes, hey, let me talk to you outside real quick. Then all of a sudden that dude comes back in and he's like, everybody, let's go, man. Let's go party again. Let's go, you know. We were like, woo. We're like, see, man, why'd you tell him? He said, man, I'm too old to fight. All this stuff. There's a couple of y'all looking like y'all might go to the NFL. Well, we take a couple of knees out. They're going to be a couple. They're not going. And that's all he said to them. And they're like, oh, no, we good, man. Let's go.
Yeah, that's all you needed. That's all you needed. So
that was one of the crazy stories. And it was like, oh, dude. When P. Diddy came to the club, Puffy.
Was that at Hush then?
No, it was at T-Town.
Okay.
This was at T-Town.
Because I know he used to own Hush, right?
No, it was company I worked for was Triangle at the time, Triangle Entertainment. They own Roxy, T-Town, Drink Houston.
Okay.
So, you know, when they were there, so it was a private party, you know, like somebody ran in the club and they brought P. Diddy to it on a Thursday night. Because usually we would be open on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. So they rented it on a Thursday night. Dude, they just went around like P. Diddy's private security just goes and looks, and he goes, you, and you, y'all working with me. Because he just went down and picked the biggest bouncers we have.
Smart.
The biggest ones.
And that's what I would do.
Y'all are with me the whole night. Everybody else, do whatever, you know. So we had a couple friends, that two of them that played football for, you know, played college football. So they were there, and then there were just some huge dudes, other huge dudes there. And they had them in the VIP room, form a line, just like a chain line right there. And they were like, all right, nobody gets past, you know. And it was funny because girls would do anything to get in the VIP room. Dude, I remember just being walking around, and then I see one girl pulling down one of those bouncer zipper and starts just going down on his junk. And I mean, I guess
what she got
to
do?
She just wanted to go in there and was doing whatever he had to do to go.
As long as she's consenting, we're all for it, right?
Hey, no, man. We were just like, hey, dude, stop. And then he's like getting his radio, hey, somebody come get this girl off me. We were just laughing. I mean, we had some crazy stories, man. It was just, you know, some of them you just can't say it out no more, you know. So it was, but that was just some of the crazy stuff that I saw. And then some of the, you know, it was.
Was Diddy wearing like a fur coat? Did he have some sort of, like, I always feel like he's always wearing that, like, white fur coat from that music video.
I didn't see it then. I think it was right around the times, like, it was, like, about, I want to say 2004 or 5. Around
Bad Boys time. For Life.
Yeah. Yeah, around that time. So, dude, it was just, like, who knows, man. It was just so crazy that the club held, like, about 2,000 people. And it was like about 3,000 to 4,000 people trying to get in, you know, because mm-hmm. that was a place to be that night. And it was just crazy, man. It was, let's just say that when we had those there, we were like, oh, dude, I'm so glad this is over. Because it would be fights. You had the guys that are trying to be like, oh, I'm somebody big too, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they would be like trying to buy bottles in the club and then trying to say one to somebody. And if somebody didn't accept it, they were like, oh, we're offended. So then they started fighting and stuff like that. So it was just dumb, man. We would always tell the DJ, don't play Ludacris Move, bitch, get out the way. Cause that will start a fight. They like, you know, that's like you fair. Started, there were some hip hop songs that were like, don't play this. Cause there will be a fight. And then there were some DJs that didn't care. They would just play whatever they wanted, and boom, there we go. Fights. All you hear is, I need security over here. By that time, I was working the door, so I didn't have to go most of the time, so I was good at that time.
This portion of Pass the Grade Podcast Best of 2020 is brought to you by our good friends at Alamo Remedy CBD, the best CBD in all the land. I promise you, you will not be disappointed if you're trying out some Alamo Remedy CBD. AlamoRemedy.com. Use our promo code PTG for 10% off of your order. They got the CBD gummies, lotion, tincture, and capsules. They also have the new hemp flower. And the best part is that almost all of their products are priced at $17.99. They almost all contain 250 milligrams of CBD, which is about 50% off of the national brands. They believe in their products, and they know that you guys, our loyal listeners, will believe in their products as well. AlamoRemedy.com. Use that promo code PTG at checkout for 10% off of your order. I love all of the Alamo Remedy products. Pat and I are big fans of the cucumber melon lotion. It smells phenomenal. Do not try and eat it, although it will smell like a yogurt, but it's not a yogurt. It's a delightful smell. You're going to love it. I put it on my back. I put it on my neck. I put it on, you know, whatever else, Andrew Crack. I don't really do all that, but I put it on my back and I put it on my knees and I put it on my ankles, and it really helps me out a lot. And I promise you, you will love Alamo Remedy. Go check it out. Why would you not? $17.99. You're going to get 10% off of your order. Go check it out. AlamoRemedy.com. Promo code PTG at checkout for 10% off of your order. And I believe for $19.99, they have the new hemp flower. It's awesome. You're going to definitely want to try that stuff as well. They got the capsules, the tincture, the lotion, and the gummies. You're going to love it all. Alamo Remedy CBD, the best CBD in the world. AlamoRemedy.com. Promo code PTG at checkout for 10% off of your order. Alamo Remedy CBD, the best CBD in the entire world, and the official CBD sponsor of Pass the Gravy Podcast.
Let's get right into this week's What Would Jesus Do? That's right, folks. Gather around. Gather around the cross and we'll listen to this. All right. This week's What Would Jesus Do comes from our good buddy and Pass the Gravy's reigning MVP of 2019, Todd Voss, at @as_seen_by_TV. Todd Voss says, if Jesus was a monster truck driver, what would the name of his truck be?
I see you wrote one down here.
So you got, like, Gravedigger. You got El Toro Loco. Get the Rod Ryan Show truck, obviously. That's my favorite, personally. But if Jesus was, like, the theme of the monster truck, if he was driving a monster truck, so you're going to have to put crosses. You're going to put JC's face on it. Why not the Holy Roller? The Holy Roller, I think, would be the perfect name.
I don't think so.
For a monster truck
you
with
want
Jesus.
You want a tougher name. So, of course, the first thing that came to my mind was just crucifixion. That would be a tough one. But as you were introducing this, I thought of another one that I think would play perfectly off of Gravedigger. Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Exactly. And you got to read it just like a Gravedigger versus Resurrection this Saturday at NRG Stadium.
Yeah, because they always say El Toro Loco. Exactly. And Gravedigger.
So Gravedigger in there and then Resurrection.
The boom. Resurrection. What about Holy Roller making an appearance?
I think Resurrection.
At Monster Jam. The Monster Jam guy always is like growling at you. I'm just like, if you haven't listened to a Monster Jam promo, just go like YouTube it and you'll be like, oh, okay, I get it.
Monster Jam. The biggest trucks, the biggest event. All tickets available now at theticketmaster.com.
Final Supper.
Come on down. It's the Last Supper with JC.
The Last Supper. Goddamn, Final Supper. Last Supper would be a strong name too.
Yeah, I think Last Supper would be good. I do like Resurrection. I think Resurrection. Still am a little bit sold on Holy Roller. I think that is a solid one.
What do you think,
I mean,
Robert?
It's literally rolling. It's got wheels.
But it doesn't sound tough enough.
Holy Roller. Robert, what do you think?
It doesn't sound tough, though.
I think Resurrection sounds tough.
Resurrection? Resurrection. Okay, so it's Resurrection. All right, well, we can all agree to disagree, but that is Jesus would probably go out in, I guess I've been outvoted, so you'd probably go out in Resurrection. I think Holy Roller would be a solid name.
If Jesus played football, what position would he play?
I mean, he did. He played quarterback for the Florida Gators.
Yeah, that's exactly. He would be Tim Tebow, and I think we've seen this.
Or
P.J. Walker.
And of course you would think, you know, quarterback, he's the leader of the team, but that's not the real leader of the team. Jesus would be a coach.
Oh, wait, no. You're talking about the real leader of the team.
be a fullback.
Oh, that's true.
He's be a fullback because he's gritty.
He sacrifices his own body. He literally Jesus.
But Jesus wouldn't want to inflict pain on other people. That's why he'd have to be a coach.
But no, hear me out. Because Jesus would inflict pain on others to protect you.
No, Jesus.
To protect you. You're his running back, and you know who he's avoiding pain for? You. Because he's giving up his own body to let you get through that line. To let you find that hole.
He was big on sacrificing.
See? He was a big sacrifice guy. I think
Jesus is definitely a fullback.
He's a fullback.
So wait, hold on. I was a fullback. Does that mean I'm part Jesus?
We can't rule it out.
Guys, I might be the Messiah. I am the Pope of Houston. So, and that's the closest thing to Jesus.
You're on the, like, not the level, but you're, like, on that same, like, hemisphere.
I'm on
you
the
know?
Path.
Like, you know, you, like, I've never taken a DNA test, but I've seen people post their DNA tests, and you're, it's like, you're, like, 1/100th of a point Jesus. You know, like, you're in,
I'll
like,
take that.
He shows up on your results.
I'm 1/834th Messiah.
Exactly what? Like that. But, like, okay. So
he's definitely a fullback. How did I? Dude, I was a fullback. I love fullbacks. How did I not come up with this?
Yeah, easy answer would be quarterback. And I'm not going to fault you if you would say quarterback because, like, one, Tim Tebow, and, like, he's the leader of the team typically. But
fullbacks are the emotional leaders of the team.
And they give up themselves for the greater good of the team. He's not a me guy. He doesn't even have to be in on every single play. But he's always on the sidelines. Like, you were talking about being on the sidelines watching. You know who's on the sidelines watching a lot of games from most teams? Fullbacks. Because they're over there like, you know what? If I'm called upon, I will go there. But you have to call upon me. You have to reach out and pray to me. Okay?
That's actually a perfect fucking analogy.
You got to reach out and pray to me. I'm not just going to be there all the time. And it's like JC is always there. The fullback is always there. He's on the sidelines. You got to ask for him, though. You got to ask for him. You got to be like, Jesus, we need you now. It's a goal line package. We're in the I form. We need this touchdown right now. And he's like, I got you. We're going to go to the right. I'm going to open up this hole for you right now, and you're going to score. He's going to open up the hole, and then what do you do? You see the light.
True.
Jesus is definitely a fullback. Like, I was not 100% sold on this. I was pretty sold on this, and I've sold myself even more
than I was already
sold. Now,
when he throws
a lead
block, does he yell, Body of Christ?
Body of Christ compels me! Yes. Yes, he does. And then he forgives everybody.
Even emotional speeches like he's got a cut on his arm. This is my blood!
Yeah. No, he cuts his arm and then he makes everybody drink it. And dips
like,
it in blood.
Shot.
He's like, here, have some bread with it. And like, Jesus, like, you're getting a little too crazy with this. He's like, do you want to win or not? Because if you do, have some of my blood. Some of my body.
Bite my finger.
Just suck my thumb. That's kind of, okay. That got weird.
We did good on that for a while, and then we got very sacrilegious at the end.
Jesus is a fullback.
100%
Jesus
is a fullback.
Is a fullback. For sure. So before we started recording, you were like, I gotta get a little bit of Mike and Ike out of my teeth here, and I was like, what is this, Halloween? And you showed me you have two vending machines down there?
No, I bought four vending machines the other day on Facebook. They have like the Facebook garage sale, and so I don't have anything to do in the day. This guy put up four vending machines, like the ones you just spin and get the candy out of. And he was only charging $30 each. And I was like, man, I could just flip these, I'm sure. And I didn't have anything to do. So I was like, hey, I'll buy them. And then I bought them. And now I have one sitting here in my podcast studio. And then I gave one away the other day to a 5-year-old. One of my best friends, his daughter turned 5. So I got to be the ultimate hero showing up.
That's a great gift.
To a 5-year-old birthday party with a vending machine full of candy. And I told the parents it was a bank. I go, we're using it as a bank. It's not just saving money, but she was so excited, and she's like, she just couldn't fathom that it was hers. She's like, can this just stay here for like a day? I was like, it's yours. If you can put it in your room if you want. And the parents are like, well, no, we can't do that. But I'm like, no, this is your vending machine. You can charge your friends. You can make money. You can do whatever you want. So I still have two left. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I thought about trying to, you know, the comic mindset is like, do something funny with them and try to make content, but I just don't know what to do with them. But they're pretty cool. They're going to be, if anything, they're good gifts. I don't know if sell them. I think I could sell them for like 100 people. Once I posted, people sent me offers, but maybe I'll sell them. I don't know, because I don't know if I'll ever get to do shows again. So maybe I'm a vending machine salesman.
Can you like fill them with liquid? Fill them with liquid and use them as just like a
Oh, it's like hand sanitizer?
Yeah, or maybe hand sanitizer.
Yeah, my buddy was like, you could say there's thoughts and prayers in one. You could do. Oh, I was gonna. Then I got like, I got a little too creative because I'm not an artist. I wish I was like a real artist, but I was like, shit, if I just fill them up with like bullets and throw some paint on there, I could call it like an art. You know, I could sell it for like $100,000 and just
society.
Be like
society.
Yeah, just if I put what if I maybe that's what I should do is like fill one of the capsules with like bullets and then something else, and then maybe shoot blood. It a couple times with bullets, and and then I just
blood.
Put it on the street and charge, you know, say this is incredible art by an incredible artist. My alias is Vita Vu Jones.
How brave. I think is
a good artist name. So maybe I'll sell it under Vita Vu Jones for $700,000, because it's the kind of shit you see that someone, you'd be like, someone bought that for that much money? And there's a million times in life I'm like, what are people doing? So now maybe
you just got to be that guy.
Yeah, I just got to be that guy.
Dude, okay, here's another one. You know how like in gyms sometimes they would have the like hand or the shampoo conditioner one or body wash? Can you fill it with body wash? Just put it in the bathroom right next to the tub. You know, whenever you're in there, you think all the space you save in there. You're living with your girl. I'm sure she takes up a lot of that shower room.
Got a lot of
who's got all that room to roam.
Well, you know what's going to happen with that? I was joking with my friends. So when I was like 18 or 19, I got arrested for trying to go in a bar with a fake ID. And then I didn't have any money. So we stole these vending machines. So I have the karma of like these vending machines. If I put them somewhere and tried to make money from them, they would get stolen, and I totally deserve that. Because we, when I lived with like four people, and we would steal these vending machines. You can just pick them up and take them. And then we played this game. We'd get drunk, and then we'd eat the candy. And then one of the ones had little bouncy balls in them. So we'd get all hyped up on candy and then get drunk. And then we'd play this game where everybody started with like five or six rubber bouncy balls. And then you would just shut off the lights. And then you would say go, and then you would just throw them in any direction. They'd bounce around. I mean, just the dumbest game. That's what we did in Wyoming. But we'd play that, just be welts, and people would be all hurting, black eyes, and you just eat candy and throw rubber balls and drink Mad Dog. And that's Wyoming life.
Pass the Gravy Podcast.
I feel like last year there wasn't trick-or-treaters. Does anyone else remember that? Maybe it's just my
neighborhood. I don't know. I'm not in your neighborhood.
I don't know. I felt like
I don't ever get trick or treaters.
I don't know, but I'm gonna buy a bunch of candy corn. So when the kids don't want it, I'll eat all the candy corn.
Just give them loose candy corn.
Also, you know what might have contributed to it? The bulb.
Just going to the bottom.
I just give them a handful. No, the bulb on my door is burned out, so we look like that house that keeps its lights off so that people don't approach it.
Y'all are the Jehovah's Witnesses to a lot of people in the neighborhood.
I'm just gonna put out a bowl of loose candy corn and then eat whatever's left.
Put out a thing of hot dogs.
Oh, we got a pickle in the Astros game.
Put out a thing of hot dogs and just be like one per person.
Uncooked hot dogs in just like room temperature water.
But in a pot, so it looks like it was cooked.
With just like ketchup and mayo and mustard like next to it, so like you could squirt it right on your dog and then go.
just grab and go.
Non-traditional.
BYOB though, bring your own bun.
Just set out like a meal.
Bun's ready.
You know what I'm going to do, Alex? I'm going to borrow your Southern Star cutting board. I'm going to put out a charcuterie board for the kids this year.
Please be classy, kids. Only one olive per.
Imagine walking up to a door as a kid and they just had a board of meat out and were like, knock yourself out. I would have fucking loved it.
Loose meat and cheese.
And then a fucking pot of water with hot dogs and standing water in it.
These guys know Halloween. These guys get it. It would be funnier though if you had, like, instead of being like the mom with the bowl of candy that hands out the candy, like you just have the charcuterie board in your hand, like, hey, tricky trick. What, and what are you, a little Power Ranger cool ass? You're like just shoveling like an olive and a pickle and like a piece of salami into their little like pumpkin. And like the mom's like, what is this stuff? Why?
Ooh,
gross.
You know, it'd be fun. Turn it into a game. So like the kids walk up and you've got a dodgeball and you've got full size candy bars and you go, all right, listen, you got to stand about 10 yards away from me. If you can dodge my throw, you get two full-size candy bars. If you don't, then that's a win for me. I just got to hit a kid with a dodgeball.
And I'll tell you about Santa.
Then their parents get all pissed off. I'm like, listen, they agreed. It's a verbal contract. This is Texas. It's fine.
Look, you knocked on my door, all right? I didn't do it to your door, okay, buddy?
So start me off with how like your trip, like where where'd you go first? I remember before Dinah left, she had a hell of a time hooking up a trailer to the back of your car, and I remember you had to drive out to Conroe a couple of times. You had to figure out the wiring. You thought you got it all. You like I'm just gonna be able to plug this in and go, right? And no, that was not the case. So like, get me started from like around then.
I learned so many lessons on the road, and yeah, the first one was nothing is ever going to be as easy as you think it is, or as easy as it seems. So I rented this 3,500-pound camper trailer. It's an R-Pod for people who know their camper trailers. It was awesome. It looked awesome. There was plenty of room in it. There was a bed. There was a kitchenette and a little dining room table and a TV with Wi-Fi.
We could call it a diner room table.
Like it. Thank you.
Same work on maybe for next time.
Yes. So I was thinking, perfect place for me and Barney to stay. We get to stay in the same place and just travel the country. We'll camp out in national parks and things like that. So immediately I had problems with this thing because when they plugged it in the first time when I went to pick it up from the rental place, nothing electronically worked. And they,
which is problematic, yeah.
Right. So they popped the hood, the guys that work for the RV rental place, and they said, this is not set up correctly. You need to go get your money back. And I paid a pretty penny, a couple hundred bucks, almost $1,000 to have that installed. And the guy left wires just hanging. And so I had to take it to another place the next day and get it done. Mind you, this is like 2 or 3 days before I am supposed to embark on this grand adventure.
Yeah.
So it didn't start off well at all. I should have just listened to the universe there. But no, I took the RV up to Colorado. And by the time I got there, I stayed with a friend for a couple of days and we kind of discussed it. I'm like, man, I think I'm a little overwhelmed with this thing. I don't feel comfortable driving. It's just too much. It's too heavy.
Because it wasn't like you had like a truck that was pulling it. I mean,
it's a small SUV is what I have.
You had a Range Rover.
I wasn't going to say
you had a Range Rover, but that's typically not like a towing vehicle, is it? I mean, it can,
certainly.
You don't usually see people towing on a Range Rover, right?
Through the mountains of Colorado and for 45 days in a row, I think that I just way overwhelm myself in the car. And plus, when you're driving that thing, you can only go a certain amount of miles per hour. So I'm going 55, 60 miles an hour. It's taking me like 12 hours to get anywhere.
Is it just frustrating as hell when you're watching everybody pass? You're like, I just want to go faster.
It is. And my chest was so heavy. I was just so much stress. I just had never driven that before. I don't know what I was thinking. I just thought it would be easier. I thought, no problem. This will be fine. But it wasn't fine. It was totally scary. So I took it back, had fun in Colorado, took it back, and then went up the East Coast. So I went through New Orleans, which was awesome. It was so hot. It was, you know, because it was the end of August. It was super hot. I went up through Atlanta, which was fun. Saw some friends there. I went to South Carolina, which is where I grew up. Loved that for a couple of days. Played on the beach there. I hit Charlotte, North Carolina. Stayed with some friends. Washington, D.C., which is a really cool city.
Mm-hmm.
The politicians live there. They keep it really clean.
Yeah.
I will tell you that.
Pictures.
And I took a picture of Barney in front of the White House and hashtagged it Barney2020.
Yeah. That's awesome. Did Trump come out to say, hey, I figured he's a big dog guy?
I don't think he was in town. Oh. I don't think he was in town. There was a lot of construction.
He probably would have if he was in town.
Like, obviously.
I mean, if I was in the White House and I heard Barney was out, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go pet him.
He would have run. Hey. Yeah. He would have run, invited us to golf with him.
Barney, very good boy.
The greatest.
Here's a medal.
Yes, he would have given him the Medal of Honor.
He would have given it to him over Rush, I think.
From there, I drove up to New York City, stayed there for a couple of days, and that was really cool.
What'd you do there?
I drove across the Brooklyn Bridge, which was awesome, and then I drove through the Lincoln Tunnel, which was really cool. I just ate pizza and hung out with some friends. What do you mean, what did I do there?
I don't know. New York's got a lot of stuff in it.
I just hung out. It was awesome. and played on the beach again because it was still pretty warm out there.
Did you watch the Today Show?
No, I didn't. So when I go to New York, I don't stay in the city. I stay in Queens with one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. And
Kevin James.
It's his
from King of Queens.
His wife, whose name I can't think of.
Leah Remini. Now
the joke is dead.
Carrie.
Is that her name in the
Carrie
show?
Carrie Heffernan.
I never watched the show.
It was a great show. It was a great show.
I remember. So I stay in Queens, yeah. So I didn't do it. But that's a lifelong dream of mine to go and stand on the Today Show because I watch it like your girlfriend every morning.
Yeah. Emma is like, her day is not the same if she doesn't get to watch just a little bit of the Today Show.
Yeah, and it's like people always tell us, oh, when I hear the Rod Ryan show or whatever morning show, yeah, it's like I'm in the car with my friends and it makes me feel better. And I really felt like that on my road trip because I was with, you know, I only saw my friends every couple of weeks if I went to their city.
Yeah.
So mostly I was alone with Barney. So when I would stay in places with TVs, which was kind of rare, I would watch the Today Show and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, these are my friends. This is my certainty.
Did like, you get wine to like drink in the fourth hour with Hoda? Is it Hoda? Is Hoda still doing the fourth hour?
Hoda Kotb, yeah.
And Jenna Bush?
Jenna Bush Hager, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew Jenna was doing it, and I didn't know if Hoda still stayed on it. But
so they just, I'll tell you this, they just have a new studio, and they have live audiences in there now.
What?
That's right. Yeah, they do their show in front of a live audience. It's a big time.
I want to go in the live audience. I just want to watch Savannah Guthrie. Not in a creepy way, just to be like, hi, I just think you're gorgeous. Like, I'm not going to touch you or be creepy.
Yeah, no, don't touch her.
I just want to say hey.
Don't touch her. Did we talk, you watched the Apple TV
The morning show, yeah.
Right? I still haven't seen it, but I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, it's very Today Show-y.
Yeah.
With, like, the whole, like and it's funny because when they're promoting it, they're like, no, it has nothing to do with the Today Show. Like, that's not what we got from it. It's like, oh, you didn't get that from the Today Show because it's just the exact same thing that kind of happened in the Today Show. Even to where Steve Carell's character, who is playing a very Matt Lauer-esque character, they find a button under his desk. They close the door.
Oh.
Not to give away, like, everything, but it's like, oh, really? Like, that... Huh, where'd you get that idea from?
Yeah, I knew that.
You get the two anchors that then take over the morning show, and it's kind of like showing how that goes. But just the politics that go on in TV, allegedly.
Yeah, there's a black male co-host that didn't get chosen for the co-host, and he's mad about it. And Craig on the Today Show.
Craig is phenomenal.
Maybe he would have been the co-host.
I like Craig. I like Willie. Willie's pretty cool.
Willie Geist?
Yeah.
He does Sunday mornings now. Rarely is he on the Monday through Friday Today Show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does a Sunday hosting gig of some kind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Willie's good.
Yeah, he's all right.
I get like Ryan Seacrest-y vibes from him, where he's just like, he's always able to like take over whenever he's in, which you should be able to do.
Yeah.
When you're there, but it's just like, he's very good at hosting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like middle of the road, non-threatening, you know, it's all right.
Yeah.
So yeah, next time I go to New York, I should take your girlfriend up to New York City with me and we should go to the Today Show together.
So just like, OMG, came all the way from H-Town.
We'll have signs that say Pass the Gravy and then Dinah's Podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then
dude.
We'll just hold them.
Dude. And then you have to wear like something silly. You have to wear like a silly like pink outfit or whatever. Like, because there's always like the older ladies. They're like, it's so-and-so's 60th. We came here for this. And look at us. We are sparkly.
It's my 50th birthday. Where are y'all from? We're from Virginia.
We love y'all. This is so great.
We love you, Hoda.
Like, I'm sure they get like the same 10 things told to them. Over and over again. Like, it's pretty awesome though, because I wish they would tell me that all the time. That'd be awesome if you always had people right behind you to tell you how cool you are.
People are so excited to be out there. It's a big deal. It's been around for so many years. It's a fun thing.
Like when you're a kid, when we were kids, I feel like TRL, like I wanted to always be behind Carson Daly, which is like why I'm pissed that Carson Daly doesn't get a bigger role, because like Carson is my boy.
Emma has a pretty big role, though.
But Emma's not a big Carson fan. And I'm like, Carson, I just wish was in charge of everything, because Carson was my come home after school, eat my snack, and watch TRL.
Carson Daly.
Emma thinks he's like bland. He's just not like, he's not got a personality or anything. Like, he's just.
I think he nerds out over music. Biggest personality. Because, first of all, he's got tattoos. Sometimes they poke out from his suit jackets, which I think is funny.
He's the bad boy of the morning show.
Yeah.
I like that.
He always knows everything about music. I think he's a super talented host. And he's a hard worker, like Seacrest, because he does the Today Show on a regular basis. And he does The Voice, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that's on every night, all year long. I don't think it's on a lot.
Something like that.
It's on a lot.
That's crazy, like all the people that do that. Like, I guess Nick Cannon doesn't really have another. He's got Wildin' Out, I think he still does.
Is that still on?
I think it is on MTV. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not a big Nick Cannon guy.
I'm not either, and I think he does America's Got Talent, right?
Yeah, he does AGT, but it's like when those guys do all that stuff, you're like, wow, that's crazy. That, like in Julie Chen, until like the whole her husband thing happened, she was doing Big Brother and The View, and Big Brother went out on all the time, but it's like when it was in season, it was like, that's a whole summer. You're doing double duty.
Yeah, that's
doing
a lot all this of work. Stuff.
Like, That's one more things where it's like you can't just do one job. Sometimes you can't just do one show. You got to do 15 things.
Yeah.
To just kind of be like, all right, well, people know you from this.
Yeah, I wonder if they want to do that, or if they have to sign some sort of a deal.
I bet they do. Like, you have to want to at some point, or else like you're not going to give up that much of your time. You know.
True. Yeah.
Because I remember listening to something with Chris Hardwick, because you know he got like fake Me Too'd, where his ex-girlfriend said he was mean to her. He abused her mentally and emotionally. And it's like, he didn't hit her. He didn't hurt her physically. He was mean to her, which I'm not saying is a good thing to do.
He was just like,
but it was like you were a dick of a boyfriend. And like, I don't think that means like you ruined her life. You know, I don't know. I wasn't there. So I'm trying to not be like, I know everything. But then he was talking about how he had never been as scared as he was then before. What was he on with Jenny McCarthy?
Singled Out.
He was on that, and then he got like let go from that, and then he didn't do anything forever, and then he kind of just came back with the whole like Walking Dead, Talking Dead thing, Bad, and he was like, I just remember that period of time where I didn't have anything. Nobody wanted me on anything, so I did the podcast, I did the Nerdist, he did everything else after that. He's like, I would just say yes to every opportunity I could get because I remembered that feeling of not having anybody calling me.
That's so interesting. I was just thinking about this because actually I went through that exact thing on a lesser level. I was never on national TV or anything, but just like all these jobs that weren't calling me back or all these jobs that fell through. And I'm like, am I not going to be on a radio show anymore? Like when I made the decision to leave the Rod Ryan Show, I was like, oh, I won't have a problem getting on a conversation.
I mean, it's a
small town.
Not
whatever.
To toot our own horn. It's a fairly big morning show.
It's a big show in a top, basically top five.
In
market.
A big company. It's like it's the number one alternative morning show on iHeartRadio.
I didn't think
Radio.
I would have a problem at all. But yeah, everything fell through. Nothing came through. It was crazy. And I really went through a very down time because I'm like, oh my God, like I really love what I do. I just wanted to do it somewhere else on a smaller level so I could also attend classes and live in this town that's way more affordable than Houston. But it's not panning out. So it did get really scary, and I know that mental state. And you start questioning your own abilities and your own talent and your own self-worth. And boy, is that a fun, deep, dark hole to go down.
Conversations you're having back. And I bet where you're driving, the whole time you're driving the country, like that can't be.
Yeah.
You had to have some fun conversations with yourself that entire way.
So I know everyone's missed my mom's story, so I got a good one on this subject.
Let's hear it.
So there was a job that I was for sure about, and it would have been perfect, ghosted me. And I was so upset, and I was just so down, so much so that when my mom called me or I called her or whatever, I mentioned it to her. I was like, oh, that job fell through. They're not calling me back. And I said it because I just wanted to talk to somebody. Like, I just wanted somebody to hear me. I needed to vent.
Right.
Not because I needed to be told how much of a fuck up I've been. And that's what my mom did. She went off on me. She goes, well, if you didn't quit your job and go on that damn trip, you didn't, blah, blah, blah. And I remember holding the phone away from my face, and I was shouting, I'm hanging up! I'm hanging up! Mom, I'm hanging up! And I just hung up the phone, and I didn't talk to her for 3 weeks.
For three, just, wow.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Wow.
I didn't need that kind of negativity in my life, Alex. You know, sometimes you just want to... Uh-huh. I'm not a victim. I'm not somebody.
No, and you don't play it that way.
No, and I'm not somebody that needs to complain to everybody. But at that moment on that day, I just needed somebody to tell me that it was going to be okay.
But then when you have Popeye starting shit with Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A never fought back, right?
No, because they don't have to, because Chick-fil-A get like they're like, we'll just fucking have we won't have lines out the goddamn door, or we will, and somehow we'll get to everybody in 15 seconds.
Well, nobody ever got stabbed over a chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A.
But that's like, Chick-fil-A, if everything could run as efficient, like whoever's in charge of Chick-fil-A should just put them in charge of everything, because it's the most efficient thing ever. You're like, I will,
like one of my parents live out in Katy, and like they have the Chick-fil-A by their house is every day at lunchtime. It's all the way down the street, blocking a right lane where there's people getting to go in the drive-thru that has two lanes, and then they usually have two other people on iPads that are taking orders too. And it's still like it's efficient as shit. Like,
if and everybody's in and out line, in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and like
it doesn't take long.
If you go to like insert any other place. And you like you're inside and you're behind one person. It's gonna take 20 minutes to get your food. Like, what the hell? Like Chick-fil-A, they're swamped. I would be pissed if I was working at Chick-fil-A. But like, great day, sir. I hope you have a fantastic day and enjoy your food. My pleasure. Would you like another ranch?
Like, Do you play a game with them? I play a game with them where I try to get them not to say my pleasure.
I try and make them. Yeah, you're like, oh, cool. That's up. That's what's up. Thanks.
Yeah, and they go.
I say
they
thanks for everything.
Yes. So I'll say like, all right. And they go, okay. Yeah. Awesome. And like, cause you kind of, that's a really cruel thing. I know
hey.
But,
like,
yeah. Whataburger. I was going to say, so not Whataburger. You know that I think what we're trying to get at here is that Chick-fil-A should probably also have COVID tests because you would be in and out
actually
within
really
like it would be like, you would get your sandwich, you'd get your salad, you'd get your lemonade. You would get a swab in your nose or your mouth, and then by the time you were done, like say you get swabbed when you go through the when you enter the drive-through, they put the thing in your nose, they swirl it around in your brain, and then you
order their signal that it's time to take your order.
Yeah,
you get swabbed.
Once you get swabbed, and you're like you're crying because it feels weird, and then you order your food, and you go around. And then by the time it comes back, by the time you go back around and they give you a thing, my pleasure, thank you. And they go, my pleasure, you're negative. And you go, all right, we're done. They would, everybody in America would already have been tested by now.
100%.
You had that same Whataburger, if you had that, I keep saying that, you had that same Chick-fil-A mindset, but with health. Think about flu shots. You just go, boop, they pop you with a flu shot. You get your Frosty, your ice cream, and you're done. You're gone. And it's
and really, like, what better way to get a flu shot if you think about it? Like, I don't want to go to CVS where I have to wait in line. Like, I want a flu shot. No, can I wait?
Pop me right now.
And also then I get a little snack. I get a little treat.
Well, that's what everybody really wants after they get a shot. When we were kids, remember? It was like
you get the lollipop afterwards. Yeah.
You get your lollipop, or you would get, you know, like a sweet tart or something like that. And it was just a constant thing. But if you even you did that. I think Chick-fil-A should probably do that. That's actually
I think we just solved like world
at least one problem in America. That's so, at least
like,
one
I don't want to say we're solving the world's problems, but we just did. We interrupt this best of Pass the Gravy 2020 to tell you that your car or home may stink because you've been in it for a long time. And if your car or home or maybe a friend's car or home stinks, get a little air freshener for you or for them because they are the best air fresheners in the whole wide world. If you see anybody with one of those little baby back bitch, little green or black or yellow or red or whatever color trees they have hanging in their rearview mirrors, just know they're not trustworthy. They're not trustworthy people because they're not riding with a little air freshener. Green trees are bad for the environment because they have to chop down trees to make the little green trees, whereas little air fresheners basically builds a treehouse every single time that you purchase one. Don't fact check that, but I'm just going to go with that. Little air fresheners, best air fresheners in the entire world. They're going to have your car, your home, whatever it is, smelling great. They also have awesome keychains. They got awesome stickers. They got awesome notebooks. What is it that they don't have that's awesome? There's absolutely nothing that they make that isn't awesome. I promise you, you will never be disappointed with a Little M product. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. If you're getting a Little M air freshener product, tag them on Twitter and Instagram at Little M Tweets, at Little M Shop Twitter and Instagram. Let them know you're supporting the people supporting the podcast. And Little M air fresheners, I promise you, the best air fresheners you'll ever put in your car, in your whole world, the best smelling anything you'll ever have in front of your nose. I promise you, if you want to check for Corona, if you want to check yourself for Corona, you want to make sure you got that sense of smell, Just get a little in air freshener. You can keep it on you at all times. And yep, still got it. I'm corona free. Go with that. It's a solid, cheaper test that may or may not be as official as the real ones. Go check it out. Little M Air Fresheners, littlemshop.com. The best air fresheners in the entire world. The official air freshener sponsor of Past Grade Podcast. Littlemshop.com. Littleemshop.com. This is something that I definitely invented. I didn't steal it from a late night talk show host or anything. And I definitely try this with every single guest, not specifically just you guys. This is called Not Very Nice Tweets, where I go through your Twitter and I find, you know, some of the not best ones. And then I, you know, like just some of the ones at you guys. And we just see what your response is to the internet.
Yeah, our Twitter is kind of barren.
You guys did say if you dish it out, that you guys can take it. So like, I was like, all right. If that's your thing, then let's see if you can. This is not Very Nice Tweets. It's a segment we always do.
Okay.
This is our first one. It's from Daniel_Blake. I have no idea who he is. at High Dive Music, when are you going to stop writing soft and really write from the balls?
Ooh.
Yeah.
We
got to say that.
I was about to say that. I don't know.
Kyle, when are you going to start writing from the balls, dude? Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's kind of funny that they even make a Cox joke there. shit, I don't know, man. I like soft stuff. I like stuff that makes me sad. Sad things make me happy. So if I write from the balls, then it's just going to be like Slayer or some shit.
Yeah.
And I think of like Meshuggah. Meshuggah's balls music, right? Really heavy, riffy shit. So that's not me. I'm going to be writing from gonna be writing soft for a while.
So take that, Daniel_Blake, who definitely isn't the co-host of the Weekly D podcast. Okay, these are also definitely real tweets. This is from at my boyfriend's band is better one. And it says, a band named High Dive with a song called The Deep End, cliche much?
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get into earlier with band names. It's like, you know, like I guess we're pop punk. That's the category we would fit into. And there's lots of sports references, right? So I guess we didn't really think about it at first. But, you know, there's bands like a band I really like. It's called Modern Baseball. And then you've got like, Major League was another one.
Major League.
But yeah, lots of sports references within this. Mm-hmm. That's a band?
Yeah.
Oh, they're not pop punk though.
That's
they're
kind of
like
true.
Indie, like chill, right?
Indie pop. Maybe.
What about like American football?
That's American what I'm saying. Football. So lots of sports references. But no, so the way that we got the name High Dive, the funny, I stole it from a music venue. I was on tour with another band, and I think it was in Jacksonville or maybe Gainesville, Florida. There's a club called High Dive. We didn't even play there. We just drove by it. I remember it. I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool name. And then later on, it was like, so we wrote this song, The Deep End, but we don't have a band name yet. It's like, oh, that's kind of, you know, it fits the vibe. And then I originally probably thought we were going to run with it some more and, you know, name the next record like Shallow Water or something stupid. You know? But Zach was like,
Treading that. Water. Like, go with that.
Yeah. I wanted to get away.
Just go water themed.
Pool theme real quick.
Yeah. I think you should go back into it, dude. Just dive right back into that. Maybe. Get it. Get it.
I get it.
Yep. That was terrible. Okay, what about this one? Is from at lifeguardsuck69, and it says, what is High Dive at High Dive Music, a band for lifeguards? Well, sure. Lifeguard sucks. You seem biased. So.
If you're a lifeguard, you should listen to us.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Are y'all big in the lifeguard community? Do you know?
I think so. Yeah.
Those beaches, that put those earbuds.
What is there? Oh, wow. That's funny. I was thinking like neighborhood pool lifeguards.
I guess they're all lifeguards matter, man.
Yeah. There are multiple tiers to that hierarchy. But yeah, I believe, you know, lifeguards enjoy our music.
Barbecue. American/Texan/Mexican hibachi?
Not at all. Hibachi is cooked on an open surface.
Yeah, there's not like a flame right below it.
Oh, not only just that, is barbecue is covered. Like if you're cooking barbecue, it's usually in some sort of smoker or something like that, just not on top of a grill. That's complete. Or even if it's on a grill, you're gonna close that grill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think
hibachi
the same thing.
Is always within eye line.
And I also think like Texan and Mexican
like thrown that in there too? Like American would have made more sense, is it? Like hibachi American or barbecue American hibachi? Because like Texas isn't the only place that does barbecue.
Yeah, no, but I mean Texas, you can have like Mexican barbecue too. Like there's like stuff like that. But also
it's called barbacoa. Pat, I do. The big part of it is called barbacoa. All right.
The big thing that separates it is in the middle of you, like, let's say, doing a brisket, you're not going to open it up, take your spatula, slice a piece off of it, and fling it across the room at your nephew. And
you know what you're not also going to do? You're not going to chop up a bunch of onions in varying sizes and shapes and then stack them on top of each other and then put some oil under it and then light it and go, it's a volcano. And then bang your little skillet on the thing, go choo choo, and move it along. You're not going to do that on a grill because it wouldn't work and it'd fall through.
That's true.
So, unless you can do the volcano and the choo choo train, which, I mean, if you go to a hibachi grill, like I know it's hacky and it's what everybody does. If you go to one and they don't do it, I don't care. I'm 31 years old. I'm still like, fucking do the fucking volcano. What is this shit?
You do the volcano, you toss shrimp in the air for
somebody
to catch.
Or you toss shrimp. If you do one at least, I'll fucking give you the pass.
No, you have to do both.
I'd like both.
And for me, you have to have the guy that has the fake squirt bottle.
He's like,
And it fakes you out with like ketchup.
It's like a little ribbon
shoots
out of it. Yeah.
Yep.
And you're like, I thought you were going to, you got me so good. And even though I'm an adult now, like when I see the red little bottle come at me. When I see the red bottle, I'm like, oh, no. And you just play into it. You just play into it. And they're like, I got this guy. And I'm like, I've seen that 1,000 times. And I will fucking play that game all the time.
Last one I went to, it looked like a little dude standing there. And when he did it, it looked like it was going to be peeing out the oil.
I like that.
And he got me with that one. I was like, that's a funny bottle.
Then another thing you got to be able to do to make it a hibachi grill is, can you put whatever you're cooking around in the shape of a heart and then – put your little spatula under and go bup 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 bup. Yep. Like it's a heartbeat. It's a heartbeat. And then now Robert, this is wacky. Then they chop it in the middle and they're like, oh, it's a broken heart. And you're like, oh no. Honestly, being a hibachi chef at one point in my life seemed like the coolest job ever.
It is.
I'm not saying it's not. It still seems like a fucking badass job because you're like, I cook in front of people and they're like, it's like a stadium. It's like a cooking. It's like a chef stadium, basically, is where you are. Like
also,
you're like a like, another if you're just part a of cook it, at like a regular restaurant. Like nobody sees you cooking, but like when you get the cool hat, you get the whole like cart you wheel out there, and everybody's like, "Yeah, our fucking dude's here. Let's fucking go!" Like I go to Benihana because I want to see what they fucking do, I've already seen them be able to do. I don't give a shit.
I'm thinking part of what he might have thought about this too is that. At both places, you can sit at a table with strangers because, you know, some barbecue places will just have those really long tables that, like,
but
you
not
said.
Not all of them.
But not all. And also, they're not cooking it right there at the table.
They got to cook it in front of you.
So, hibachi, you got to have a big group or else you're going to have some randoms at the same table as you.
Robert, have you been to Benihana?
I've never been to Benihana, but I have been to one of those places. Yeah. Just once, though.
Dude, are we doing, like, I feel like we do, like, a pass the gravy, like, we'll do, like, a Christmas dinner with just the gang.
P.T. Bocce?
We'll take you out to Benihana, Bobby. And I'll be like, hey, did they do all of the things we have said, though? Did they do the beating heart, the choo-choo train, the volcano? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Because, like, I was about to say, if you haven't seen that, buddy, it's a spectacle.
It'll change your life.
I mean, and, like, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. And it's like, I don't give a shit. I'm so excited. And then when they will put the table down, they put all the oil on the table to get it ready to go and make it hot. And then they start the fire and you're like, whoa, that was a big flame. Wow.
And then there'll be one person either in your group or just in one of the groups at the table that sees the hibachi come out and then looks at the menu and goes, oh, they have sushi. That's what I'm going to get. You're not even going to order from the guy that's cooking it for you right there. Fuck you.
You go steak and shrimp, or steak and lobster, fried rice, or whatever. If you don't have some sort of combination of the three of those, just fucking leave.
If you don't order something for that guy from the guy that's cooking it in front of you, why aren't you sitting at one of the other? Because they have other tables. Not everyone's at the grill.
They're called not fun tables because you don't get to see your food get cooked in front of you.
Dickheads.
Have you ever ordered Benihana to go?
No. Why would you do that?
It's always funny. Like, did they like? They did the choo-choo train.
They literally the guy just rolled the table out to the like curbside, and then was just flipping you every piece of the meal into your car.
One time I got fried rice to go one time for my cousin, and I went up there and was like, but like y'all did all the cool stuff to it, right? And they're like, what? did you make a heart out of it? And they're like, no. And I was like, ah. Like, can you take it back?
Never
and do
mind.
That? You can take it back, right? I don't want to have to ask for a refund. I mean, I'm aware that I could not see it if you did, but I would just like to, like, I can't wholeheartedly eat this if I do not know what has happened to this rice. Like, this was made into a heart and then a broken heart. Yay or nay? Because if it's nay, take it the fuck back. I will send it back, put it in a heart, fucking turn the grill back on, and send it back.
Well, and then they threw it at your car know my heart, and walked back inside.
And that was when I was removed from that thing. I've never been allowed back at that specific one. You don't do one thing that I feel like I've noticed a lot. And like in radio, this happens too, where in radio, we call it puking sometimes, where like you have a guy that'll talk like, oh, hey, Ivory, it's nice to meet you. And then I go on the radio, I'm like, what's happening, everybody? It's Alex. And I talk like this when I'm on the radio. But then you turn it off and you talk like this. Like, especially like there's like a news voice, I feel like, that people pick up. And I always feel like it's the like murder story voice that it's like the lady's like, it was a quiet town in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And like sometimes there are girls like, my name is so-and-so with Eyewitness News. Like, you don't do that, but like, do you pick up on that? Do you notice that a lot, that people just like, yes, kinda go into news voice?
Yeah. So when I went to journalism school, I thought that that's what you were supposed to do, because everyone that I looked up to was using news voice. And so I started doing that. And then I actually got a mentor who was in the industry killing it. And she was like, stop with your presidential talk. She was like, girl, just talk like you're talking to your mom. Think that you're talking to your mom. That's how I want you speaking to your audience. So I really toned down my news voice. Sometimes you can't, you always try to enunciate, make sure you're speaking clearly, you know, so, cause you're trying to convey a message to people. So sometimes that comes off as news voice. Sometimes like, you know, it sounds phony and insincere, right? I don't think it's a great idea to sound that way, which is why more and more, I think in this 21st century, a lot of journalists are dropping the news voice because the audience doesn't believe you when you sound like some manufactured robot news reporter.
It's like, I don't know if it's I don't know if it's like phony necessarily, as it's just like I know in comedy there's always people that are like, when you start out in comedy you sound like the people that you like, you sound like the people you listen to or the people you watch. And it's like, I feel like if everybody was doing like that originally, that was the only way people did it. So then you start getting into it and you're like, that's all I've ever heard, I'm only gonna talk like that.
Yeah, you think that's what they want, that you think that's what's going to get you ahead. And maybe some news directors are looking for someone who sounds that way. But the further I've gone in my career, the more I've like just gotten rid of that, toned it down, and just try to be myself more on camera. So, and I think that's what most people want nowadays.
Who would win in a race between Speedy Gonzalez, Roadrunner, and The Flash?
That's a good question. I always liked Speedy Gonzalez. He's a bad motherfucker.
I was leading towards Speedy, man.
He's got the coolest name. Let's say that. Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a dope name, dude.
The Flash is a cool name, too, though. But wasn't it?
Yeah, but, it's not the same without that last name. It seems like he's trying too hard.
Okay, share.
Speedy's like, yo, this is my name, and they gave it to me. I'm a Gonzalez, but I'm fast as fuck, so they call me Speedy.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know why I don't trust Roadrunner, man. I just don't, like,
Roadrunner,
he's a quick guy. I don't think about distance. I think Speedy's got him if you're going in a distance race.
Yeah. It's funny. Roadrunner, you know, I always liked Roadrunner, too, man, and he could outrun, you know, the Wiley.
He was kind of a dick.
Well, he was a dick to Wiley. I loved watching.
I mean, Wiley just wanted to hang, man. Wiley was like, yo, bro, I just want to, like, maybe watch a game. Just quit painting these fake tunnels.
I mean, I guess they would give the superhero, but look, the cartoons aren't real either, so we don't know how fast they are. So yeah, I'm going to give the Speedy. I'm going to give the Speedy Gonzalez just because, you know, he's got. You know what Speedy has? That he's got fans, dude. He's got followers. Mm-hmm. Now the Flash, he's got a bunch of dorky followers, probably like comic book guys. But I mean, as friends, he does it. But Speedy, didn't he always have like a crew? They're always cheering him on. I remember.
Yeah, yeah. He's got. I can't remember who was the sleepy guy that always had his hat down over his eyes, and he was always like he was napping. Yeah, and that guy. Everybody wants that guy.
That guy probably bets on Speedy all the time. He's like future.
He's his bookie. He's the bookie.
He wins. Yeah, he wins all the time. He's the fastest. That's
you're Speedy. Bet. You got a bookmaker with you on your team? I'm going that guy because you're obviously taking Speedy bets because you know your boy's gonna win. Speedy Gonzalez, easy. Sorry, Flash. Sorry, Roadrunner. We're going Speedy Gonzalez
nerd.
In that.
Nerd and Bird, you're out.
Pass the Gravy Podcast.
Hardest sport to play in all of this are the sports that are already going on right now, like UFC and boxing, where you are literally punching somebody in the face and getting bodily fluids.
That's one-on-one, and you can test both. Dude, football, you can come into contact with 11 other guys on one fucking play.
They're all getting tested, though. That's the whole thing, though.
Yeah, but like,
so if everybody's getting tested, then that's the same thing. Okay, what if you get a false test in the UFC and you go five rounds with somebody?
Football, you're coming into more contact with more fucking people than any of the other sports.
You're not getting punched in the face. So, no, you're not.
Yes, you are. You're getting punched in the face with somebody else's fucking helmet.
Right, with helmets.
Like, at one thing, you're getting punched, that's on their fist. Football, you're literally going face-to-face, and your breath is going into each other's face.
So what's his face from the Steelers is he's susceptible if he gets punched by a helmet. But, like, other than that, like, you don't think Masvidal and Usman are going to go out there and, like, be super high? Like, I would say those guys are way more high risk than a football player who has pads and other articles. Like, you have shorts.
What do pads have to do with it?
It's just stuff that prevents you from like getting on you. I don't know. Like you're bleeding on people openly.
It's
in
a
the
respiratory.
UFC. Like, that's just
football players. They get blood on them too. Just because you're wearing a helmet.
Yeah, but they're not. The job of the football player isn't to just punch the other guy in the face until he doesn't get up.
I literally don't understand what you're not getting about having more people closer around you than a one-on-one.
You have a whole training team, bro. You have a whole training team that's around you the whole time you're training. You have the other guy's whole training team.
Okay, but
team.
When you're actually like, on the field playing, there's one other person in there. As opposed to when you're on the field on any given play, there's 21 other people besides you in a very close fucking vicinity to you. I don't understand how you're not getting this.
I get what you're saying, but I definitely think that the spread of COVID would be done easier over a UFC octagon than it would over an NFL football.
So you think it's easier to spread one-on-one than 11-on-11.
You know why? Because how many fights are on that fucking mat? So one guy gets it. Say this is the first fight of the night. Say,
okay.
Say the prelim fight, which isn't going to happen because UFC Fight Island is perfect. Say the prelim fight, the
so
first
hard.
Prelim fight, guy gets knocked out, blood, he's got COVID, whatever. That's all fucking over the mat. Then the second person that fights, you go down there, you get fucking COVID on you. Everybody could come up positive for COVID by the end of that.
Okay. How many fights are on a teams. Card? Including prequels, how many fights are on a card? 7? 9?
No, because if you have like prelims and then like the super prelims, there's probably 20 fights.
It's not 20 fights.
Total? At a UFC event, which you don't see on TV. Which you don't see on TV.
On the main card, it has like 6 fights, okay? So then
what you don't see on TV is the 6 fights that they have before the ones on the prelims that you have to have UFC Fight Pass to watch.
So there's like 6 on the main one. Then there's like 4 or 5 on the prelims. That puts us at like 11. Then fights that you don't see, you're telling me there's another 14 fights? No, there's maybe 6
then
more.
The main card. The main card and a prelim.
I already included
you have,
the fucking main card.
So that's 11. Then you have – okay, so you so what? You only have 6 non-televised fights. So, all right. So you had 18.
So it's like 18.
You're right. That's nowhere near 18. 20. You're right.
Okay,
that's
no, no,
near
no.
20.
So 18 people fighting total on that map.
Nope. That's 18 fights.
Sorry, 18 fights. That puts us at 36
fights,
people.
Which means – 36 people plus the add their 2 cornermen, add the teams that they're training with, add the people that are at the facilities with that. Like, so add, that's like at least 8 times, whatever. So it's about as bad as football, and you're getting body on body contact. When
we're getting about tops. I'll give you 50 people on that mat. Which, by the way, I'm whatever. 50 people. We've got like fucking 62 people on each sideline that are just players. Plus, you've got another 30 on the coaching staff.
Percentage-wise, it's literally dangerous for UFC.
It's literally double the fucking number plus in football. And like I've said 20 fucking times already, dude, just on the offensive line, you've got 10 fucking people right there on the line bumping into each other on every single given fucking play.
They don't bump into each other at all in the UFC.
One at a time or two at a time, one-on-one. Like, I don't understand how you think that up max 50 people is more likely to spread than, what's it, close to 200 on an NFL field? But no, 50 people is more likely because their fist is 52-man
roster. 52-man rosters, there's 104 people. Coaching staff has like 13 people on it at least.
You think there's 13 people on a coaching staff?
Or just like the main coaches?
Coaching staff is at least 20 people. Okay. Plus then you add 13, at least at least another 20 trainers on top of that. Plus camera crew.
But like they're not media. All going to get it from it. Like if you're in a UFC fight camp and you test positive, everybody
that's in close contact in football is not going to get it. But everyone that's in close contact in UFC is going to get it.
Well, I mean, you're sparring with these guys. Like, yeah, I would say
you're so. You're not sparring with coaches.
In the UFC, yeah, you are. Do you not know how they train?
Not all of your coach, like your strength coach, you're not sparring with him.
Your jiu-jitsu coach, you would say you had like a kick, like a
no,
like
I
a
mean,
taekwondo
probably,
guy. You would
no,
practice.
Your
you would
coach
train
will,
with
like,
all those
jump
guys.
In every so often, but you're training against your sparring partners. Your coach is there to coach you. Which
you know
by
what?
The way,
you know
you're
what?
Still let in me... close proximity to your coaches in football anyway.
Let me text Juan Adams. Let me text my buddy Juan Adams.
Have you ever
former
seen
UFC
a
fighter?
Sideline.
Let me see if he has. If
you
he
think
has
everybody's going to be 6 feet away on an NFL sideline? This is amazing to me that you don't get this. Like Robert's just sitting there, like I'll keep going.
He doesn't have an opinion.
Hours on this one fucking.
Right, Robert. Just end this. What would you side with? What would you say is riskier to spread COVID on?
I think the NFL.
Okay. Well, y'all are both wrong.
That's I can't. Okay. I can't wait to hear everybody responding.
Do it. I don't care. I'm not going to change my opinion. I'm not going to change my opinion.
More likely to spread than 200.
I think it is easier for the percentages of spread to go up in a UFC event than it is because you know you're able to isolate yourself at that. So if like you know you see with the MLS where you had like. 6 players test positive on Nashville FC or whatever the fuck Nashville's soccer team is called.
MLS, and, another one that's going to have more people around than UFC. But keep going.
Right. No, exactly. This is what I'm using for an example for. But the MLS, like, you had a soccer team drop out because there were people that tested. So they're like, okay, whatever. We're not doing this. So, like, they're smarter about just not participating in things. When the UFC, they're still trying to participate in things, which is going to guarantee that if one of them gets it, all of the people in that camp get it. And then I think it's just easier spread amongst UFC activities than in NFL activities where with 72 people, the odds that all of them are going to get it are much lower than the odds that the 6 people with you right there.
Nobody said all
are going to get it.
It's just more easy to spread. God damn it. You know what I've noticed too? Every time we throw it to Robert of like the last 7 times we've thrown it to Robert, me and Robert side, he always sides with me because you're an idiot. Like you've really gone off the fucking rails.
Sounds like
Alex. Your brain
talking.
Does not work anymore. Every time the voice of reason sides with me.
Doesn't mean
yeah,
I feel
like
voice of reason.
I feel like a part of it also is just like how badly Alex does not want the NFL to like even like be talked about being canceled or anything like that. That like it kind of like just makes you
might play a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not even like he's trolling.
We're not canceling the NFL. We're not canceling the NFL, okay, guys? That's it, guys. That will do it. That's all the best stuff that I remembered to take note of, at least, for the year 2020. And just like that, the year is gone, unless you're listening to this before
New Year's Day 2021, in which case the year is still here. And if you're listening to it after, then hey, what a year that was. Am I right? Okay, I got some thank yous before we get out of here. Shout out, obviously, Pat and Robert. Those guys make this a lot of fun. And without them, then obviously, you know, the podcast would not be as fun with just me here. But shout out Pat Dion, Robert Barbosa. Thank you guys both for always chipping in, being a part of the team, and making all of this work. Thanks to all of the smorgasbord of guests that we had this year. First off, our guest of the year, may she rest in peace, Dinah Powers. Love you, buddy. And I put the longest segment of the best of dedicated it to her. That was a big loss for me specifically, and a lot of other people in 2020. And I mean, I know it wasn't the only loss we had, but it was a big one. Rest in peace, Dinah. We all love you here at Pass the Gravy. Shout out to Ian D'Artes. He did a musical podcast. I'm going to send you out, actually. Like, the end song will be Ian D'Artes, his in-studio performance before we had to do everything via Zoom. He came in and did PTG the musical, and he also sang Anything You Say from Hold on Hollywood's new EP, Love Stories. So go check that out, and I'll play you guys out with Ian. Ivory Hecker, appreciate her coming on, talking about News Voice. The Chile, a.k.a. Jose Santos, my buddy that I work with every single morning. He had an awesome podcast, The Chile and Alex Show, with myself this year. Tessa Barrera and her quarantine episode. The band High Dive, shout out to them. Shout out to Kyle Tomcheson in High Dive. He's done a lot of engineering for us. He's awesome. He's a great dude, and I really appreciate Kyle with all the help that he's given us over the years. Dave, Keith, the crew at Southern Star Brewing Company, you guys are the shit. We love all of you guys, and thank you guys for being guests on the podcast. Keith was the Darling Like a Marlin Award trophy winner at the Gravies Awards. Dave was up there at our Spooktacular. Just Southern Star rolls out the red carpet for us every single time, and they continue to make the best beer on the planet. Matt Thomas and Adam Clanton from Sports Talk 790. Loved having them on the podcast. Winston Cook, he was on the podcast this year. He also played at our Christmas Spooktacular, so shout out to him. Craig Lavati from the Houston Museum of Natural Science. Go check out the museum, guys. Mask up and go see a museum in the new year. Cliff Hogg, a huge get for me personally from Big Brother. That was a lot of fun. Houston's own Cliff Hogg. It was good to have him on the podcast this year. Patrick McClellan. I'm still in a ton of debt because of Snake City, but I love the shit out of Pat McClellan. He's awesome, and I hope that ghoul in his attic isn't bothering him anymore. Sal Kalani, Brant Tobler, Dusty Rhodes. That was a huge get for me as well this year. Loved having Dusty on the podcast. Hopefully we'll get her back. Liz Marshall, and obviously last but not least, the man, John Geoffrey, who we did a quarantine episode with him this year too. Jingle Blake Wonder, appreciate you making the jingles for us. Past Gravy Bro, our Big Brother podcast, he made a whole intro for us over there. So shout out Jingle Blake Wonder. Raimundo Benavidez, man of the year. Danielle Weston, our woman of the year. Josh Tricottle, the MVP of the year. Todd Voss, last year's MVP, this year's Gravy Gangster Award winner. Josh Posados, David Ruiz, everybody. I know I'm not saying it. Brandon Whitehead, Bro Brad. I love all of you guys. Matthew Jaramillo. I don't want to not say your name. There's just so many of you guys to say. Alamo Remedy, CBD, the best CBD ever. Thank you guys for coming on board this year and sticking with us. Little M Shop, you guys are awesome. Appreciate y'all sticking around. And obviously, Southern Star, I've already shouted out to y'all. My wonderful girlfriend, Emma, thank you for putting up with... I'm like looking at her right now as I'm doing this. But thank you for letting me do a podcast every week for like 4 hours. And actually, I've added a couple this year, so it's like 7 hours a week. I feel like I'm doing podcasts. She puts up a lot, and shout out to Emma. She's the real MVP here. And also shout out to Wheezy, because Wheezy is usually pretty quiet for most of the time. She only barks every now and then, but that's only when she really wants to speak up. But this has been, again, it's been an odd year, and hopefully 2021 is going to be a kick-ass year, you know, when we figure all this virus shit out. But I can't wait for 2021 with all of you guys. My Gravy Gang is getting bigger. It's getting stronger. Shout out to everybody that came out to the Spooktacular. I know, no hating if you didn't, I understand. You know, if you didn't feel as safe as you could be coming out, you didn't need to come out. And there are people that voiced some concerns, and that's cool. I appreciate it. But everybody that did come out, that means a lot too. And hopefully when we're allowed to actually hang out with people again, we're going to have more events in 2021. We'll have more events in 2021 that like we were supposed to have in 2020. So let's look forward to that. You guys, the Gravy Gang, the best gang in the entire world. Thank you so much for spending so much of your time listening to the podcast. And fuck you, 2020. Let's kick some ass in 2021. Until I talk to you guys next week with our brand new first episode of the year. You guys have a good one. I'll send you guys out with Ian D'Artes playing Hole on Hollywood's Anything You Say from live in the Pass the Gravy podcast studios when you can still do that. You guys have a great rest of your year, a safe new year. Be good to one another. I love you guys. And until we talk to you guys next time, pass the gravy. Yeah. Bitches!
I'm so sick of feeling like I do. Another day's been laid to waste at the thought of you. Never take my own advice. I move too fast, I don't think twice. This control with just one look in your eyes. Sending you see things through. If I could hear you say it's for you, who wanted so bad to bleed myself dry. If it would make you stay, yeah, I'd do anything you say. I need this, so tell me you do too. Seems every day is just a little more gray without you. But I don't want it to be this way, and all I want is to hear you say, I want it just as bad as you. Just need a sign that you will see things through. 'Cause I could hear you say it's all for you. I want it so bad I bleed myself dry. If it would make you stay, yeah, I'd do anything you say. Lying to myself again. If you wanna know the truth, tell me where to begin. And I don't want this to end. I just wanna make you stay. Yeah, I'd swallow my pride again. Swallow my pride again. Just need a sign that you will see things through. If I could hear you say it's for you. I want it so bad I bleed myself dry. One make you stay. Yeah, I'd do anything you say. Anything you say.
Let a rip, tater chip.
I'm gonna pollinate all over you.
Ooh, dirty talk.
Mommy needs a little alone time to either fucking turn on her little lightsaber or have a fucking Kahlua and Coke in the morning, all right? Why wouldn't you call it like a butthole ant?
I'm warm inside now.
Are you really wet?
I'm horny and mad.
Hey, you give me protection money, I take care of your mail. Just send it to Frankie Yocho. I got you, bro.
Smoke him up, Johnny!
Sweet, I can get my sex swing.
Big titties in big cities. Am I right, fellas? You guys get it.
Here's my demon cum.
Spit in my mouth, look in my eyes. This P word is wet.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna fill up on pussy.